And but like before I do that, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to us here at Microsoft, which is developer productivity. So why do we care so much about making developers productive? Well, it's because more and more software is driving the things we do every day in our daily lives. As a developer, this is incredibly exciting and empowering because it means I can write software to do almost anything. I can make an API call to complete a financial transaction or to back my car out of the garage or to read my heart rate from a wearable device or even interpret an X-ray. And so this is great for us as developers because every time we encounter a new tool like this or a new service, you know, even if we don't have a use for it immediately, we file it away in our heads and we think, oh, someday I'm going to want to try that or use that. It's almost like each of these new tools or services are superpowers that we're accumulating. So this is exciting for us as developers because it means we can do more and more, but it also means we're being asked to do more and more as software becomes a more vital part of the way the world works. In addition to that, as developers, we're facing new challenges. The technology landscape is changing quickly. So just in the world of mobile devices, there are more form factors and there are more use cases and hardware types and configurations than ever before. In fact, last year, looking at employees of large companies, we found that the average employee uses 3 different mobile devices every day. And that diversity is only increasing. So your apps have to run on all these devices and run well. Additionally, new emerging technologies like conversational interfaces or voice or mixed reality are great because you can build really cool apps that can do new things, but suddenly this is new stuff that we have to learn and adapt into our apps. And then finally, as we spend all of our time interacting with digital devices because we're using our phones all the time or because our cars are digital devices, we're also throwing off more data than ever before. We just emit data as we go about our lives. And that data has to go somewhere. And that challenges us as developers to collect all that data and store it, of course, but also to analyze it and extract insights from it and make intelligent decisions with it. So these are all new challenges for many developers. But our teams aren't getting a lot bigger, and we can't type all that much faster than we used to be able to type. And so where are we going to get all this extra time? How are we going to get all this done? Well, the only answer can be developer productivity. We have to make developers more productive. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, to us, developer productivity is about skipping the inessential steps. It's about using tools and frameworks that allow you to focus on just what's essential about the app that you're building. It's about saying that repetitive work that I would normally have had to do for every new project, I should use tools and frameworks and templates that mean I don't have to repeat that again and again. And after all, this is actually the reason we created computers and software in the first place, right? To do the monotonous stuff for us so we can focus on what's interesting. So that's what we'll be talking about today, and that's what we're going to be showing you in the demos. We have 3 areas where we're going to show you how we can make you as a developer more productive. The first is a powerful platform and set of tools to help you write less code to get more done and iterate faster. Now, we love, as developers, writing new code. You open a new buffer file, you write new code from scratch. That's the most fun. But we also know that we spend most of our time in existing code, editing it, tweaking it, debugging and diagnosing it. It's hard to figure out sometimes what's going on and to do that quickly. And so tools that help you understand and get insight into what's happening in your code can make you much more productive. So we'll show you some of that. The second is about your team. How does your team work together? Are you adopting the best practices for automating your DevOps so that as a team you're working on the right things at any given time and you're shipping updates to your users that actually work? Well, to do that, you need to automate those workflows. And so we're going to show you how to do that. And then finally, the apps that we build are increasingly backed by the cloud. And we want you to be able to focus on the functionality in your app, not how to run it across 40 data centers around the world or how to scale it. We can help you do that with Microsoft Azure. So these are the 3 pillars of developer productivity that we'll be focused on today. And we're going to start with C# and Xamarin. And to show you that, I'd like to bring out my good friend James Montemagno. Come on out, James.
There you go. Awesome. Thank you so much, Nat. I'm absolutely delighted to be back here on stage to show you not only do we have a powerful platform for building apps, but we have the best platform for building apps on every single operating system that's out there. When you think about it, it's not just phones and tablets. It's watches, it's TVs, it's IoT, it's everything. And with C Sharp, you can target every single platform out there today, all from the world's most productive IDE, Visual Studio. And of course, my favorite programming language, C Sharp. Now, when you think about companies today, they're not just building one application, they're building a lot of applications. If we take a look at the smart hotel company, for instance, I showed off this morning the consumer application, a stunning application that users can book really fast hotel rooms, get into their room, and get feedback quickly. At the same time, we're building applications not only for consumers, but internally for our own businesses. So that's why Smart 360 has a staff application for their housekeepers, for maintenance worker, for anyone else, so they can get in and out and manage the tasks to keep everyone happy. Now, these apps just aren't for iOS, they're for everything. We're building apps for not only mobile, but also for web across every single operating system out there. And that is why we need those powerful foundational building blocks, a powerful language that we can share across every single operating system, and those powerful tools to make us really productive. And what I want to do today is show off not only the staff application, but also enhance our existing Smart Hotel consumer application and show you how all of your developers can share more code and have to write less at the same time. It's really powerful. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hop over to my Mac here, and Henry, again, is gonna help us out with these demos. So let's get our Mac up there, perfect. And I have my iOS and Android emulators and simulators here with the staff application. This is an application that anyone can go out, see tasks that are completed or need to be resolved. So here's one, this room needs to be cleaned. We can see some information, complete a task, and report back and go back to the task. And it's a beautiful cross-platform application for both iOS and Android. So no matter what device the staff is using, they're able to get in and be really productive on the go. So what I want to do is walk through what a C-sharp cross-platform app looks like. So I'm going to open up Visual Studio for Mac. And the first thing I want to do is say that this application is built out natively with native iOS storyboards and Android XML. So we have our built-in actual iOS storyboard designer and our, Android designer, that, you know, we'll close that and reopen it, is in there as well. Now, if we take a look over in the structure, we have our Android application, iOS application, and this core business logic layer. This is all of the common code between iOS and Android. So our models, view models, RESTful service calls, Azure integrations, things that are the same between all of the applications, just C-sharp code. So what's nice about this application is that if I need to access any of the platform features, I can go in, add NuGet packages, access the core actual iOS or Android APIs directly in those projects. But what we're kind of noticing here with the actual staff application is that it's missing one really important piece of functionality, which is that when we're on the go, we want to be able to report an issue too, so other staff members can fix it. So I'm going to add some brand new functionality. And I have two decisions right now that I can make. One is to create an iOS and another Android user interface file, or start to use shared user interface inside of this native iOS and Android app. So let's first start off with some business logic. I'm going to create a report view model, essentially the code behind for that user interface. Inside of here, I have a few bindable properties such as issues. I have a room. So the idea here is that maybe when we're out, we can detect the room that we're automatically in using the power of the device, and we can execute this, and I can go ahead and write some code here. So whenever I call this method, execute location command, we need to go get the current geolocation from iOS or Android, and then automatically detect the room that we're in. So I'm going to use a cross-platform plugin for Xamarin and Windows. So I'm going to say var position, position equals await cross geolocator dot current dot get position async. So with one single line of code, that is going to reach into the native iOS and Android code to detect the GPS location. Then I'm going to get the room. Now, I wrote a little bit of business logic earlier that I can automatically detect the room based on the geolocation and kind of like where I'm at in the hotel. So I'm going to pass in the position, and that's it. This is shared code now between iOS and Android, but I have a little bit more. I have the ability to pick or take a photo, so I have a photo URL, and I'm using another plugin that will go out and pick a photo from the gallery on iOS or Android. Again, very nice, beautiful C# cross-platform code. And then I'm going to add a submit button to submit it to the server with all of our information. So now what I need to do is decide how I'm going to build the user interface. Well, I don't want to build it two times, so I'm going to use our native cross-platform XAML that I can embed into iOS or Android. So here I'm going to go into this report XAML view. So I've spec'd out a little bit of shared XAML, and here I have an entry where I'm going to apply that issue. I have a button to pick a photo, and I'm going to have that image automatically download and pull it up. And then I have the room and a button to detect the guest. And then a submit button. There we go. So now I need to take the XAML, which lives over here in another .NET standard library, which enables me to access all of .NET and add my user interface code. So down here, we have our XAML user interface with a few other XAML files. But I need to get that into iOS or Android. That's where these native views for iOS and Android come into play. So I'm going to come back to my iOS application, and I'm going to go into my view controller. The view controller is all the iOS-specific code that's going to handle displaying and pulling down all of that data. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a button on the top right to report a new issue. So we're going to go ahead and assign it over here, navigation item, right bar button, right button. Then we'll call the navigate to report, which is going to create that shared native view and convert it from XAML into a native UI view controller that I'm going to push onto the stack. Just a few lines of code to pull that shared XAML in, and all I have to do is redeploy my application. It's going to take all my changes that I made to the iOS application, to my shared code, and my user interface, and compile up a native iOS application. So here we go. It's going to redeploy the iOS application. We'll give it a few seconds as it redeploys and installs here on my MacBook Adorable. There we go. Cool. Now we have that report button right up here. We'll tap on that. My native user interface that I just made over in XAML is there. And I'll say light bulb is broken. I can go ahead and pick a photo. When I tap pick a photo, that's going to bring up our actual native photo picker. Go ahead and do that there. Displays it. And I'll even detect the guest room. All of that shared code and the shared user interface. And I can submit that off back to the server. Now, what's great here is that not only did I take that XAML page and put it in iOS, but I have very similar code over on Android to do that. I can create the report view and turn it into an Android fragment. And over here, I have the report button, as I compiled this earlier. And when I tap on that, I get the same exact but native Android user interface. So just like that, I'm able to write less code that is now shared between every single one of my applications, all inside of Visual Studio and C# with XAML. Now let me hop back over to the actual guest application that was there. That was a beautiful application that I showed off this morning to actually get guests in and out. And at the same time, what I showed here was, you know, recompiling, redeploying the application. If we hop over to my PC, I want to talk about how we're making developers more productive by skipping inessential steps. You saw that I had to stop, recompile, redeploy my application, enter a full debug session. And what I want to be able to do is take any of my source code at any time and simply use my iOS or Android device and have my source code update in real time. It's kind of a delightful developer experience. That's what we're aiming for. And that's why we introduced the Xamarin Live Player. And here I have an Android device that's being screen mirrored. Can I get my Surface up there? I have to press a button? That one? Nope. No idea. Nope. Three? Nope. Two. Thanks, Rajan. Nope. One? Oh, there's a button that says two. Nope. Should be two. Unplug, replug. Oh, maybe it jiggled. Ah, there we go. Woo! So here's what we want every single developer to be able to do. All they should have to do is write some code and have it automatically update on their device. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to launch the Xamarin Live Player, but now on Android, my physical Android device here. I'm going to go to Tools, Xamarin Live Player, Manage Devices. You can add as many iOS and Android devices as you want. You simply scan the QR code, and over the local Wi-Fi, Visual Studio is ready to deploy my application. So I'm going to select the Xamarin Live Player right here and hit Debug. So we can actually now send all of our source code over to our device and see it running. Now, I didn't have to stop, recompile, do anything to get my app on here with all of our shared user interface. And what's great is that I'm actually in a real live debug session. Not only are we interpreting the actual source code, we're in a real live debug session, which means I have my locals, I can hover over anything, see that it's a true value because it ran the validation command, because I set a breakpoint right here. We're essentially have a remote debugger running inside of the Xamarin Live Player application. All right, so this application's looking pretty great inside of here, but what I want to do is actually extend this functionality. We notice that developers want to add functionality fast. So if they were designing their user interface, they have to make a few changes, redeploy, make a few changes, redeploy. Well, now with the Xamarin Live Player, essentially allowing you to skip all of those steps. All you have to do is right-click on your XAML and say live run, and that source code is then sent over to the actual device. And in fact, it's any of the pages. As I tap through, I can go ahead and see any of the pages and modify them in real time. So let's add something brand new. So I'm going to add a brand new screen from scratch, because adding some value to our customers is important to Smart Hotel. And I use a lot of ride-sharing apps like Lyft, and I thought it'd be really cool to add a tipping screen to the application so you can tip a staff member that's an outstanding staff member. So I'm going to come over to this tip view. It's a blank. Look at that beautiful screen. It is stunning. So what we're going to do first here is I'm going to add a few XAML snippets. So I'm going to add a photo first. And this photo is data bound over here to a beautiful, handsome individual, awesome staff member. Now, what's great here is that see how fast it updated. I didn't even hit save. There's still an asterisk there. But let's go ahead and add some information here. So I'm going to add a label. It's going to say leave a tip for James. It go ahead and it reinterprets. It's a little small, so let's add it maybe 30 there. Now, what's important is that the files are changing, and it takes about 2 or 3 seconds to reinterpret. So we're kind of waiting for it to kick in there. That's really fast. So then we're going to add some buttons on the screen, some tip buttons. So we can say, you know, no tip, five, $10 inside of here. And these buttons are going to be circular buttons. And that would be look very stunning. That's what our designer told us to do. So I'm going to drag those over. All right. And then our buttons are there. Now, that's looking pretty good. But let's add one more button if I'm feeling really generous. So I'm just going to go ahead and go in here, add another frame. It's going to take that and then move it over. Now you can see they're stacked on top of each other because I copied and pasted. So I'm going to change this and move it into another grid. And we're feeling real generous. So we'll make it a $50 tip. There we go. And we will also make it the default. So we'll change the background color that's displayed. Now the last thing we need to do to flesh out this functionality is add a button in there to actually leave the tip. And actually, just in the last 60 seconds, I built an entire screen of my application. But I want to point out that it's not just the user interface. I've added some important functionality, such as being able to leave the tip. But also, whenever I tap on one of these items, it actually plays an animation. Look at that. That's pretty amazing. It looks a little crazy, but it's running my code. So let's fix that code. I'm going to come into the code behind on this tap gesture recognizer. And oh, we can see the problem right here. I'm scaling. It's like 500%. So I'm going to change that over to just 125. It redeploys. Look at how, look at that, right? So now, with Visual Studio, C-sharp, and the Xamarin Live Player, I can rapidly iterate on my ideas with never having to stop coding. I just code, and my app updates in real time. And this is how we're making developers super productive, sharing more code, and being able to see their ideas come to life right in front of them. Now let's go back to the slides because there's one more thing that I want to talk about before I leave. XAML itself is an amazing way to build user interfaces, as I just showed you. And many of you are building user interfaces for mobile with Xamarin and Xamarin Forms, or for desktop with UWP and WPF. And many of you have been asking for us to make it easier to work with XAML regardless of what platform you're targeting. So we've been working really close with the Windows team to bring these two worlds closer together with the XAML standard effort that we started to talk about at Build earlier this year. And we've been working and listening to all of you amazing developers. And today, we're announcing a preview of Xamarin Forms that features a standard API that aligns with the APIs of UWP and WPF. These aliases, if you will, are additions to the Xamarin Forms types and properties. So that means there are absolutely no breaking changes to your existing applications. They're additions. So you don't have to start learning a new API. Everything that you know and love, come over. Everything in C# and XAML. So this is something that we're working with. You can get a preview today by following that link. And with that, we know that you're going to love building applications with C#, XAML, Visual Studio, and Xamarin. Thank you so much.
Great job. Thanks. All right. Thank you, James. So that was how a great platform and great tooling can help make you more productive. But as we said before, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with the developer and their IDE writing and debugging an app. We all have to cooperate together, and we have to ship updates all the way down to our customers. So the next area we're focused on is DevOps and how to automate your DevOps. Usually, as Scott said this morning, if you take an existing team, and we've spoken with thousands of teams building mobile apps, we find that they've adopted one or two or three best practices. Maybe they have CI set up. Maybe they have a good pool of beta testers to whom they can ship their app to get feedback. They may do that inconsistently or consistently. Some of them have unit tests, but maybe only partial coverage. And they may or may not have any user interface tests. And so our idea was to give you a simple way to set all of these best practices up in your team very, very easily. And that is Visual Studio App Center. So with Visual Studio App Center, you can build your app automatically on every push just by connecting your repo. You can automatically run unit tests and UI tests on real devices in our test lab, which hosts thousands of iOS and Android devices. You can automatically distribute those apps just based on a merge and a branch in your source repository down to beta testers or even to the App Store. And then once you have users and they're out in the App Store in the wild using your app, you can get automatic crash feedback so you know how the app's performing. You can also learn about how users use your app, which parts do they like, which parts do they not like, are they completing all of your flows through our analytics support. And then finally, you can re-engage with your audiences, segment them, choose subsets of them with push notifications. All this comes with Visual Studio App Center. To show you this, please welcome Hockey App founder and Microsoft Program Manager, Thomas Domke. Thomas?
Here you go. Thank you, Ned. I'm so excited to be here at Connect and to talk to you about our journey of making app developers more productive. Do you remember a few years ago when you had to connect your iPhone via USB to iTunes to install an app? We solved this problem with Hockey App, allowing our testers to seamlessly install apps over the air. And with App Center, we're taking it a step forward to the next level, triggering a build on every single push to the code repository, running automated tests in the device cloud, and then delivering the app not only to our testers and team members, but also directly to the App Store. And of course, throughout the lifecycle of our app, from early prototypes to production, we want to collect crash reports and analytics. With App Center, all this is possible, and I want to show you in this demo today how we used App Center to develop the Smart Hotels app. We decided that after the after Connect, we will open source our project. So we picked GitHub as our repository solution. And James developed the whole app in Visual Studio for Mac, from the code in C# and Xamarin to testing with the iOS simulator, all the way to deploying the app to the Xamarin Live Player. And now here from Visual Studio for Mac, James can take his code and deploy it into GitHub. In GitHub, we have all our source code, we have our issues and work items, and of course, we use pull requests to merge features back into the master branch whenever we're done with a continuous integration cycle. And this continuous integration cycle is very important for us to gain confidence that the features that are merged into the master branch and deployed to the App Store are stable for production. To set up continuous integration, I'm using App Center. I'm launching App Center here by typing appcenter.ms into my browser. And because we're using GitHub, it's really easy for me to sign in with the GitHub Connect Continuous GitHub button. On the App Center dashboard, I can see all my apps that my team is working on. And because I have used the same account on Hockey App before, I can also see all my Hockey App apps on that same dashboard. I click on my Smart Hotel app, and in the sidebar, I can find all the services that App Center has to offer for app developers. And the first one I want to use is Build, that lets me build my app directly from the source code in the cloud. My team has already set up 5 branches that are all successful. You can see this here through the green label. And I want to set up a new branch and show you how easy that is. For Connect, we're using a feature branch called Feature Connect. And I can simply click here on the gear icon to get started. App Center analyzes my repository, so all I need to do here is to select my solution for iOS, select the device build, and because I'm doing a device build that I want to deploy on my real device, I have to sign it with a provisioning profile and a certificate. So here's my provisioning profile, my certificate, and the certificate has a password. And then once my build is finished, I want to distribute it to my demo team here on stage. And I can do this with the distribution option and by picking the Demo Dragons team. And that's it. That's all you need to do to set up continuous integration with App Center for your iOS app, for your Windows app, for your Android app. And I'm proud to announce that starting today, we also support macOS in App Center. Now, once my build is finished and shipped to my testers, I also want to run automated UI tests in the device cloud. App Center tests offers thousands of iOS and Android devices in the cloud, and you can run your UI tests, whether they're written in Appium, Espresso, XUI test, and all other modern app testing frameworks. Here in our case, we have a Xamarin app, so we wrote the tests in Xamarin UI test. You can see how my last test has passed, but that's boring. I'd rather show you a fail test to see how we used App Center test to debug the test. I can see that my booking test has failed. And here in the device grid, I can see all the devices, all the real devices that are available in our test cloud, whether it's a rose gold iPhone SE, a black iPhone 7, or this iPhone 6S here. I can dive deeper into the device details and get a screenshot for every single test step, as well as memory and CPU consumption. I can click through the test step and see what has happened here. So in the next step, my credentials were entered. I went to the Smart Hotels homepage. And then here on the Book City page, my suggestions didn't load. So that makes me suspicious that that might be the reason for the test to fail. And I can click here on the logs to see the real device logs, the same logs that James would get from Visual Studio for Mac or I could get from Xcode in the device cloud. And I have the suspicion there might be something wrong with the HTTP connection, so I could search through that long log here, or I can just find HTTP request. And there it is. There is my exception caused by a backend problem that we had last week. And so, you know, we debugged our own code, we spoke with the backend team, and we finally figured out how to solve this, and this is how today all the tests are green, while they were red last week. So now we feel confident that our test is stable for more testers within Microsoft, so we go over here to the distribution service and can ship our apps to different distribution groups. For each group, I can decide what build they should get, allowing me to tie different branches and different stability of my app to different people in my company or in my tester group. So I, before in the demo, I, um, bef-
before I deployed the build to the Demo Dragons team, and now I want to ship that build to the Connect group. And I can do this from the build service, but I can also click on the Connect group itself and distribute a new release right from here through the user interface or through the API that App Center offers. We are not forcing you into using our build service. If you have your own build server or your own local build machine, you can simply drag and drop the build into the user interface or upload it through our API. And we also have a Fastlane plugin. Now, my app has shipped to my Connect group, and now it's time to collect telemetry and crashes about this app. So I can go back here into the crashes service and get all information about my app in the wildlife. I can see my crash-free users is 91.7%, which is really not good because similar to my server uptime, I want to reach the 99.9% as a minimum. And I can see here, it dipped even lower than 70%. And I can also see that over time, in the last few days, my crashes per day really took off, causing a lot of problems for my users. To learn more about the crashes, I can click on a crash group and see all the details about that specific crash. We have full symbolication showing you stack traces with class names, method names, and line numbers. So here in this example, the crash happened in Booking Hotel View Model, line 221. In addition to that stack trace, we also show you the most affected devices. So you can see here most of my testers were using an iPhone 8 and an iPhone 10, and the most affected operating system version. I can dive deeper into a single crash by clicking on the crash, and I can see here that this user was on Sprint in the United States, having his phone set to English. And I can further click on the Events tab to see what has happened before my crash. So you can see here the user started a session with the app, he signed up for a new account, he completed the sign up, he looked at a room in the hotel's app, and he started to book this room, and then my app crashed 59 seconds into the app session. This makes it really easy, together with a stack trace, to analyze the root cause of my crash and hopefully fix it in my app. In addition to this, I can also collect analytics about the usage of my features and the distribution of my users. So you can see here my daily and monthly active users, daily sessions per user, and the session duration, i.e. how long were they using the app. You can see the most popular devices for my app. And you can also see that, for example, for this app, some of my users are still on iOS 9.3.5, so I probably want to start some test runs on that operating system version to see that I'm really covered with both usage and crashes. And then down at the bottom, we show you a country map showing the distribution of your users around the world, letting you decide in which languages you want to translate your app and how your support team should support those users across different time zones. In addition, my development team can add a track event call to my app code to track certain events in the app. So here we have the same book room initiate event that is triggered whenever a user tries to book a room, and I can see that 1,300 users in the last 30 days were trying to book a room, and they tried so 7,000 times. Now, I've collected all those analytics and all those crashes, but they're isolated in App Center, and we don't want that. At my team in the next morning, I want to know what's the most important thing for me to work on. Is it a new feature, or is it a crash report, or is it something else? And we enable this in App Center by allowing you to connect your App Center project with your GitHub project or your VSTS project here in the settings of the app. So here's my service integration, and because we're using GitHub, I have connected my app into GitHub. And what that will do is that whenever we detect a new crash group in App Center, we will automatically create a new work item in GitHub, allowing me to prioritize the crashes against my other work items like new feature requests. So going back to my GitHub project here, you can see my issues, and I have a lot of crashes, and I have decided I want to fix this one here. It's a divide by zero exception in the Booking Hotel View model that's blocking my users from booking a hotel room. So I'm losing revenue if I'm not fixing this crash. I can click on the work item here in GitHub, and I can see a similar set of information as in App Center. So I get my stack trace, I get again the information that this is in Booking Hotel View Model, line 221. I get the divide by zero exception, and I also get a link back into App Center so I can seamlessly jump between App Center and GitHub. Now I want to fix this crash here in Visual Studio. So I've opened already my file here, and here's line 221, and here's my divide by zero exceptions because I forgot to initialize the number of nights variable. So I can quickly do so by subtracting the from variable from the until variable. and then getting the number of total days. And now I'm confident that this will fix the crash and allow my users to move forward with the booking process. As a next step in my mobile DevOps pipeline, I want to commit this change into my Git repository, push it, and then trigger automatically a new build that can be validated by my testers. And I can do this right from Visual Studio. So here I pick review solution and commit. Here's my modified file. And I can copy and paste a commit message that says fixes all the crashes. And I also have some emojis to show you how those emojis flow through the commit message into App Center. I can commit my and directly push into App Center this change. Now what happens is that Visual Studio commits into GitHub, pushes into GitHub, and then Mobile Center picks up that change and automatically triggers a new build. And I can show you this here in App Center, where the feature connect branch now automatically picked up my commit message. Here are my emojis, and the branch is building. Now, once my branch is complete, and I have again validated with my testers that I'm confident that this is the right fix for my team, I want to create a pull request in GitHub to finalize my DevOps cycle and go live into production. So I'm jumping right over here into GitHub, and here's my ticket, and I remember this was ticket number 50. I go back to the overview page, and I create a new pull request. And I want to pull request into the master branch from my connect branch. And then here's my change. That looks good. And then the other thing I want to do here is I want to automatically close that ticket that had that crash in it. So I write fixes number 50. That looks good. That's the right ticket. Now what's happening is my pull request is opened, and you know I'm the admin, so I just decide, okay, this is good to merge. I'm merging back into the master branch, and now two things are happening. Once again, if you jump back into App Center, the master branch is queued for building, allowing me to get a new production build of my app. At the same time, my GitHub ticket was closed because I referenced that ticket in my commit message. And now if I use that link from the ticket into App Center, at the same time, my crash group on App Center was also closed. You can see here that the status is now closed and that the group has a comment that says work item status changed. And with this, we have closed the loop of my development cycle. I have used GitHub to create a new feature. I have used App Center for continuous integration and to analyze crashes. I've created a ticket in GitHub, fixed that GitHub ticket, and now I'm ready to deploy into production. And to do this, I'm going back into App Center, into the distribution service. And we have a new feature that allows you to push any release directly into the App Store. And I can do this here with my Connect group by going into the releases, and I'm confident that last release has my fix in it because it has the same release notes as I just put into the tool. I pick distribution and then store, and from here I can push my app directly into the App Store without ever going into iTunes Connect. So here's my production release. Again, it has my release notes, and by clicking publish, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to do to create a full DevOps pipeline from committing into the Git repository, continuous integration, continuous monitoring, and deploy to the App Store. App Center is made to, we're shipping App Center to make developers more productive. And really, the motivation for us is to give you more time to ship more value to your customers and hopefully create more five-star apps, get better ratings, and ultimately make your customers more happy. And now I'm giving it back to Ned, and Ned will tell you all about the pricing of App Center and also about of our customers. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, thank you, Thomas. So now you see what it's like to have everything hooked up so feedback flows all the way from customers back to your work items and then into the app, down to the releases. It's really powerful. The great news is most of what you just saw, or everything you just saw is available now. You can try it right now. You can use it today. And almost everything you just saw is free. It's great. So distribution's free, analytics is free, crash reporting is completely free with no strings attached. We're also giving you 4 free hours of build every month. And then beyond that, if you per concurrent build agent, it's $40 a month, which is a great price. Testing works the same way. It's $99 per concurrent device per month. You can use it as much as you want. It's fantastic. So we hope you all check it out and really love it. We have, in fact, lots of customers, including many we admire with great apps out there, who are already using App Center. And in fact, we have one of those customers here today. So Hugh Vitos previously worked on the Hangouts app at Google. He built the Disney World Park app and then worked as a principal engineer on the iOS app for HBO Go. And now he works at Grab. Grab is a ride-sharing company that has 2 million drivers covering Southeast Asia, and they just raised this summer $2.5 billion. So they're one of the largest startups in the world. Hugh's got about $1 billion backstage in his pockets. I told him it's safe, he can leave it back there. And so please welcome Hugh to the stage. Hugh, come on out. Hugh, awesome.
Hi, Nat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. So, Hugh, you've been at Grab for about 18 months, and we'd love to hear, you know, I'm sure you have a lot of challenges building mobile apps there. As an engineering manager in charge of mobile apps at Grab, what are the problems that you face?
Right. One of the problems we're facing right now is, as a ride-sharing company, we have a passenger app and a driver app, and we're mobile first, so we have Android and iOS, and then there's some other variants on that we might want to target a specific region or a specific use case, and we've ended up with several different code bases for all these different applications. So we, in Seattle, have been working on how we can make our developers more productive and roll that out to the rest of the company. And we've just released our first app using React Native, and we're looking forward to seeing how else we can leverage App Center going forward.
That's great. Now, you have already been using some of the App Center services to make your team more productive. Maybe can you share with us which services you're using and how it's been going?
Right. So the first two services that we're using are Distribute and CodePush. We're, like I mentioned, we have several different applications and several different use cases. Being able to set up different groups for, say, our testers or our core developers and pushing a build out and getting it to the right people has been very, very powerful. Also, using CodePush means that we can take a critical bug fix, we can wrap that up, and we can ship it out to customers, and they get it immediately without even having to download a new update to their application.
That's amazing. So what's next for your team over the next 6 months, a year?
One of the things we'd really like to do is we're working closely with Microsoft. As you can imagine, we have a fairly complex build, and Microsoft is helping us get it to a point where we can run that on Mobile Center, and that's going to open up a bunch of new possibilities. We're really excited about the being able to do UI testing on devices.
Excellent. Now, with $2.5 billion in the bank, when you land in Singapore, do you get to take free taxis around everywhere you go? Or?
I sure wish. I do get too expensive, but if I got free ride, then the driver wouldn't get paid.
Awesome. Hugh, thank you for coming out.
Thank
really
you so much for having
it. Congrats.
Me.
Excellent. Great. So our final area that we're going to talk about today is the cloud. Now, many people, when they think of the cloud, they think about virtual machines, and they think about blob storage, and they think that it can be complicated to set all this up so that you can have some intelligence and some storage in the cloud backing your app. Today, though, we're providing more and more sophisticated services that developers can easily consume and add to their apps, and so you can build really valuable features really, really quickly. To show you how that's done, please bring Dima out. Come on out, Dima. Thanks. Here you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Really excited to be here. So we've seen some great demos today. Both James and Thomas has built great apps, 2 cross-platform apps that is not only for our hotel guests, but also for our staff employees. They've ran it. They tested it on hundreds of real devices. And of course, they kept the crashes to minimum thanks to Thomas and App Center crashes. What we want to do now is create features that will delight our users, that make them excited to use our app. Personally, I love working on features that I can relate to, and I'm sure a lot of you will. Imagine going into catching a red-eye flight and then arriving to your hotel, and your room is not ready yet. You always have to sit in anticipation around the reception area, waiting for them to call you that your room is ready. Well, what if we can build a feature that can notify the user the second the housekeeping staff clicks that your room is ready? You get a notification on your phone, and you can go and complete your check-in and go to your room. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to leverage the housekeeping staff application that James has built, connect it to the cloud, and with the power with both Cosmos DB and Azure Functions, we're going to send a notification to our customer with a personalized message of a flower-shaped chocolate telling them that the room is ready for them to check it in. So let's move to my machine here. What we have is Visual Studio for Mac. So we have three components to walk through. Number one is the Cosmos DB database. Second is Azure Functions. And third is App Center. I'm going to take a look at the Cosmos DB integration we already have. So what we have here is the function that will update the room status once it's cleaned and update the Cosmos DB database to say that the room is now cleaned along with the room ID and the customer. So we don't have anything to do here. James has done a great job, so we can go to the next step. Now for the next step, we want to write a function that gets triggered every time the Cosmos DB database is updated and sends a notification down to our third component, which is App Center push notification. So this function here will run get all updated Cosmos DB document, send a personal notification for our guest with their name, telling them to enjoy that their room is ready. The next function here will send the notification using the App Center push notification service, along with the message and all the information that we want to get the user notified regardless of what their app is. So normally, I would take this function, take it, spin off some virtual machines or a Docker instance, and then deploy my code. But we're all about developer productivity here. We want to skip all these inessential steps and focus on building a great experience for our users. That's why I will be using Azure Functions, which is a serverless service, meaning I don't need to worry about VMs or instances. I just need to focus on writing code. Azure Function is event-triggered and runs on demand, so I pay per execution. It doesn't have to be running all the time. I just pay per execution. So every time I choose the trigger, it's going to run. If we jump to the Azure Functions portal, you can see that I can choose the trigger to be on virtually anything. It could be a queue trigger. It could be a blob trigger or a service bus, or even a generic webhook that I connect to GitHub so I can get a trigger every time I do a check-in. So I just need to create the function, and I'm set. So I've prepared it here. I've copied the function I have already into my Azure Functions. And inside the function, you can see the exact function I wrote. I just paste it in the browser and save and run, and that's it. Azure Function will take care of updating my Cosmos, of updating this function every time my Cosmos DB has updated. And finally, it will send the output, which is a push notification, to my users to tell them that their room is ready. So let's see it in action. What I have here is side by side. On the left side, I have my staff application that my housekeeping will be using, where when they click the room is clean, it will notify me on the right side, which is my phone, will get notified when the room is ready. So let's try it. They hit the room is clean, Cosmos DB gets updated, Azure Function is triggered, which calls into the App Center push notification, and there you go. You can see that I have personalized messages all the way from Cosmos DB telling me that my room is ready. And because I'm really delighted and I love chocolate, I'm going to actually leave a tip for the housekeeping staff. It's a familiar face, and the room was great, so I'm going to leave a generous tip that he deserves. So I'm going to leave it. And that's it. Now I've created an end-to-end solution with no time, with the highest productivity that we have. Now let's fast forward 14 days. As a developer, I love seeing what people think of my app. I can go either to Twitter and see, or I can see more visibility into how users are actually using my app. You can see the users, Thomas have illustrated that, but I want to show you is the events, which I can see exactly what customers are doing in my application. In this scenario, I want to see if the tip added function has increased since we've linked it to the feature I've added. You can see that ever since I've added the feature, tips has spiked, which is great. So not only have I added a better user experience that I personally would love to use, we've done it in a most productive way for our developers, but also I've done well for the business with creating more tips for our housekeeping staff. So it's a win-win-win situation. Back to you, Nat.
Thank you, Dima.
Yeah.
That was great. Thank you very much, Dima. Now, we've seen today how you can use powerful platforms and tools to build better apps faster, how to automate your DevOps so that your team can collaborate better and get real-time feedback from users and act on it quickly, and how to use the cloud to make it easier to build innovative features in your apps. All of this adds up to better developer productivity and happier users. All of this is what we give you with the Visual Studio family of products, from code editors to IDEs, all the way through to App Center and Visual Studio Team Services. It really is a complete suite of tools to have an incredibly productive developer team. So we're really excited about this. As I mentioned earlier, everything we showed you today is available now. You can check it out. Here are the URLs. We can't wait to see what you build. Thanks.
Shell's overall mission is to be the most innovative and competitive energy company in the world. By 2050, our population is about 9 billion. And for that, we need a lot more energy than we need today. Technology will clearly help Shell in meeting these challenges.
We have about 2,800 software developers working day in, day out.
We're solving really hard problems using vast computing resources and big data. We have high-performance computing, advanced 4D and 5D visualization capability.
We support 3 million lines of legacy code that we're moving into a newer technology platform based on ASP.NET. We expect to write another 1 million to 2 million lines of code, and so we need a tool that really facilitates good collaboration between those various teams.
Our overall strategy was to move everything to the cloud as soon as we can.
We gathered up our Team Foundation Server databases, sent them off to Microsoft, where they ran their high-fidelity migration processes and transformed it all into Visual Studio Team Services.
I was pretty unenthused when I heard we had to move to Visual Studio Team Services. Any change is hard. The rollout was phenomenal. We were able to just log on, update, move to the new system. I didn't have to rebuild my code. It's just really easy to work with and to quickly see what is my state right now. How am I doing per sprint, per beta, per release? Our product is developed on two platforms, on Windows and on Linux. So we need to make sure that everything we build on Windows will compile on Linux as well. Because Visual Studio Team Services is in the cloud, you can access it from any platform.
Whether it's for Linux, for Windows, for Apple iOS, for Android, for other type of devices. So having access to the latest software releases is very important to us.
The upgrades that we've done over the past are typically pretty disruptive to the business because we have to upgrade the system. Now with Visual Studio Team Services, every 3 weeks there's new functionality without us even noticing it.
We have all of our colleagues accessing the same backlogs, the same user stories, and the test cases are there as well.
We're no longer running our servers. We've removed all of that cost.
Obviously, going to the cloud, people are mostly concerned with security. So the fact that the Visual Studio Team Services had their ISO certification in place was a great benefit for us. Shell is very open about wanting to be innovative and being very competitive. That's basically why we pushed very hard to actually move this to the cloud. We think it's helping our developers a great deal.
Digitalization will transform every part of the company. It will overlay our physical world and make it one world, whether in the subsurface space, whether we find space, whether in the trading space, whether in the consumer space, it will transform the whole company.
We want to connect people anywhere, anytime.
The band pass is very important in Huawei. We have 80,000 developers in our company. Huawei's culture is custom focused. So as a development, we should improve our efficiency and develop our product more quickly. I think Visual Studio 20 and 17 is the most powerful IDE in the world. Huawei has the largest code base that Microsoft has ever seen, which is about 1 GB and 24,000 source files.
Because we're just based on C++ in Huawei company, but in the past, we have to install some other components that we don't need it. But now we can just choose components we wanted to use. So now we can use Visual Studio to doing continuous integration and deployment. Very convenient.
The employment of intelligences and the developer assistant tools makes the development more productive.
Huawei is an open company. We cooperate with Huawei's partners. We also cooperate with open source.
Visual Studio 20 and 17 can develop Linux software well and debug against Linux. This feature is very important for us. I like this feature very much. It's cool.
It makes cross-platform development easier.
And Microsoft is a developer-centric company. And Huawei, we are beginning to build an engineering culture. So we want to cooperate with Microsoft to improve Huawei's developers' productivity.
Happy birthday, Visual Studio. Visual Studio, 生日快乐! Yeah.
Systematic reviews summarize all the best available research evidence to inform decision making in health. Research had been done that looked at whether steroids were helpful in improving the maturation of premature babies' lungs. The review showed conclusively that giving steroids saved lives amongst premature babies, and that has probably saved many thousands of lives.
And for a typical review, we might well have 20,000 citations to sift through as a team.
It can take 2-3 years to complete. Project Transform is an artificial intelligence project that brings together the technology that's able to manipulate and analyze data very efficiently.
We've been able to create a data set that can train the machine to help us do this task so that we can then better direct human effort where it's most needed.
We're using Cortana Intelligence to enable us to develop and deploy these machine learning applications in the cloud. We've got a series of different classifiers where we narrow the scope of what a particular citation is looking at. What we're able to do is to be able to identify the research which is likely to be relevant for a particular review. I'm using Azure Machine Learning Studio to develop and deploy web services which make these classifiers available. We're then able to visualize the performance of the classifier across the set of studies. We find most of the relevant citations much, much earlier in the process.
What I love about all of this is that it's all about that partnership between the human and the machine.
Artificial intelligence will allow us to answer more complex questions more efficiently and with more precision, improving decision making and therefore helping patient health.
We wanted to make it really easy for our customers to get meaning out of their data.
A lot of industries have data, but they haven't been actually able to make the data work for them.
Any producer is competing against great competitors from around the world, so they constantly need to innovate to do more with less.
Shelby is FactoryTalk Analytics for Devices.
Shelby actually allows us to put a data scientist in a box.
It is an information appliance that our customers can deploy in their manufacturing operation to analyze the data that's coming out of the device.
We use Microsoft Cognitive Services to train the bot. This also uses machine learning. We're pushing up every event that Shelby sees and doing summary calculations in Power BI.
Great Lakes Brewery was one of our first beta customers.
We were able to help them by finding out how their assets were performing, how healthy they were, and allowing them to do it in as easy a fashion as possible.
Implementing Shelby was super easy. It took about 3 minutes, a couple of mouse clicks, and we were analyzing problems that we were then able to solve immediately. Technology allows our brewers and other process individuals to stay focused on the craft of the product rather than the process.
Most of our customers don't know that they need Shelby until they get Shelby. One of the things that we've been experimenting with is attaching the bot to a voice interface like Microsoft's Cortana.
There are two drives that need maintenance.
So a customer can find out the status of their system, no matter where they are, without taking their hands off their work. When we show our customers, jaws drop. People are astounded by the bot.
Being able to use the Microsoft Bot framework to make our product as easy to use as possible has just been amazing. It is an infrastructure that we can use immediately. We don't have to set up our own cloud computing infrastructure. Azure does all that for us. We can put our own industry knowledge on top of it and make our customers more productive.
Our customers are seeing a new Rockwell. New innovation with Microsoft is showing them that we are evolving to create positive outcomes for their businesses.
All of the devices are online.